today on Real Radio.
You just can't wake up one day and say, yeah, you know what? The church is not relevant. Okay, you may be going to a church that's not relevant. Go to a church that is. Jesus loves it, died on the cross for it, rose again from the grave for it.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues a series he calls the Worldview Series, a series that encourages us to have an active, relevant, engaging, and culturally involved faith. In developing our biblical worldview and the church, what comes to mind? Can true Christians who obey Scripture have an effect on today's culture? From its inception and throughout history, the church has been an unrelenting force in society, and Pastor Jack urges Christians to keep gathering together, for where there is fellowship, Jesus Christ is in their midst. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
I ask you to hang on to your seats. You guys are going to have you queue up a video and show it all the way through first, and then we'll back up and kind of dissect it. So keep your eyes on this for a moment. This is big.
My name is David Kinneman, and I'm an author and a researcher. The statistics are showing that young people are leaving the church in staggering numbers. And I just felt compelled to figure out why.
Hello, I live in New York City, and this is how the church lost me.
Growing up in church, I think I just got too close and understood how it works the way somebody understands how a business works.
It's just not real or relevant to me anymore.
I don't think God was who I'd made him.
You have a new generation that's asking questions, and they feel as though those questions aren't being responded with honest answers.
I consider myself to have a really great relationship with God. I don't have it in the way that my mom sees.
The result is pretty obvious. Young people are leaving the church, and in some cases, they're even losing their faith.
I don't know if Jesus was the Son of God. That pretty much means I'm not a Christian, right?
I am still a Christian. I just don't go to church anymore.
Honestly, I think it's time that we start a real conversation.
We just need to start talking.
Let's start talking.
It needs to be okay to say you lost me and not have everyone freak out.
You lost me doesn't necessarily mean forever.
Young people need to express their frustrations, their doubts, their questions. And older Christians need a place to learn and to be heard.
It's about being able to bring up a question about evolution or sexuality without just having a Bible thrown.
Look, let's just get it out on the table.
You lost me. You lost me.
Lost me.
And let's get this conversation started.
This clip is all over the web. You have to watch it a few times to grab this. Every one of those people, look, I don't know who they are, and they put themselves up on the web, so as soon as you do that, it's open game. But I want to honor them. Only biblically do I want to honor them. I've not spoken to any of them, I'm sure I won't get a chance to speak to any of them. I have some questions, though, and then we're going to walk through this. Regarding church, the whole premise of this thing is that you've either done something or you didn't do something. You lost me. You lost me. I felt that I saw it wasn't relevant for me. The danger of the culture of today is it's all about me. What is it for me? What will the church do for me? Now, I believe I know the answer to this, but I'll save it for the end. Let's look at the first comment, the first part. We'll kind of, if you guys can step through them for a second.
Growing up in church, I think I just got too close and understood how it works the way somebody understands how a business works.
Okay, she found out how it works. It works like a business. Okay, this is her assessment. She's saying that it works like a business, and that's why the church lost her. It works like. So what was her experience? Her experience, whatever it was, she's concluded, I'm leaving the church, because I think what we can safely say is she saw the inner workings. Well, let me ask you something. Are the inner workings of every church, apparently, from what she experienced, Is it corrupt as she experienced? Are all churches corrupt? But she has left. The church lost her because she got too close, she said. What does that mean? There's a lot of emotion in that assessment of hers. We don't know her story. That's all that's on the web. But listen, the church lost her. She had an experience. We don't know what it is, but the church lost her. As though, and it's possible, that it was the church's fault. I want you to think about this for a moment. This is hard stuff. You need to think. Because many in the young generation think today, oh, the church lost me. But there's an answer for this. When she saw whatever she saw, why didn't she, and she may have, I'm not slamming her, but I would like to ask her, did you confront those who offended you regarding what you saw? And what is it that you saw? How were you hurt? You saw the inner workings. That's a profound statement. What is it that you saw? Oh, I saw the church. The church bought a hotel. And did that bother you? Oh, yes, it was terrible, and I left. So what'd they buy it for? I don't know. That was just terrible, though, for them to buy a hotel. And the story may be they bought a hotel and converted it into a place where unwed women wind up living, because churches have done that throughout America. See, there's always something to the story. Next slide, or next clip.
It's just not real or relevant to me anymore.
It's not really relevant to me. Again, this is on the web worldwide. Why? Why is it not relevant to you? What happened? What did you do to present yourself available? Listen, young people tonight, what are you doing to present yourself as a living sacrifice to the Lord Jesus Christ to be used by the Lord? See, listen, you young people tonight, I want you to be so galvanized. I want you to be radical. I want you to be absolutely revolutionary. I would like you to be the one who says, you know what? I'm not going to stand around and wait for the sun to rise and set. I am going to get up and I am going to ask God to fill me with his Holy Spirit and I'm going to go make a difference. I'm going to take the Bible and I'm going to go do it. Because I'm really tempted to ask these people, How was your devotional life going when you decided to leave? How was your prayer life? If this is up on the web worldwide, shouldn't the church have its ability to question them and ask them, what happened to you? Were you up praying? What? Praying? No. Were you reading the Bible on a very regular basis? No. Were you witnessing? Were you sharing your faith? Oh, no. You hear what I'm saying? See, Jack, you're being very mean. This is normal. This is absolutely normal. But people don't want to hear this today. Next clip.
I don't think God was who I made him.
I don't think God was who I made him? And I don't know if we have that whole clip, but he's going to say, I did not believe that Jesus was the Son of God. I guess that makes me not a Christian. Jesus Christ said, if you do not believe that I am ego eimi, that's the name of God. If you do not believe that I am God, he said, you'll die in your sins. So to not die in your sins, you are to believe that he is God. Now watch. This is what the Bible says. The church should scoop this guy up and say, listen, buddy, let's find out why you don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. Bring forth Isaiah 1:18. Bring forth your argument. Come, let's reason together, saith the Lord. Let's talk about it. They want to talk about it? Then let's talk about it. Young people today, you're making decisions. Well, you know, I don't think the Bible is all of the Word of God. This is huge now among young churches all across America. The Bible's not the entire Word of God. Only parts of it is. A lot of young people are going to churches like that. That's heresy. That's demonic doctrine. Well, I don't know, worship the God of my parents. You know, their God is, you know. Okay, why? You must follow your thinking through. Our modern culture is very, very weak, if not remedial, in history. Study history and ask yourself some hard questions. How is it that young, middle-aged, old believers throughout history believed and knew God so well that they couldn't deny him in life and it even cost them their lives? Why? Find out why. That should be an investigative reporter's task. Look, am I being mean by saying, listen, everyone, be able to watch. He actually knows it. He's saying it. He knows. That's part of the reason why he's bringing it up. He doesn't like that part. I don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. I guess I'm not a Christian, right? According to Christianity, which the Bible, according to biblical doctrine, yeah, young man, you're right. You're not a Christian. Someone of the young generation, I'm really picking on you guys, Sam, but I gave you fair warning. The young generation of believers today says, man, dude, you're judging the guy. No, I'm not at all. The Bible's judging him. And the Bible will judge every one of us. The Bible judges me constantly. Let's go, next clip.
I am still a Christian, I just don't go to church anymore.
What does the Bible say about that? Okay, now look, let's be honest. Do you have to go to church to become a Christian? No. But the Bible commands us to go to church because we are Christians. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, I think it is. It says, do not forsake the gathering together of the saints, as some have done, and it warns us that it leads to a shipwreck of faith. And let's be honest. A lot of Sundays I come to church because I have to. I'm doing the message. I don't physically feel like coming. Have you ever gone to church and you physically don't feel like going? I mean, can't we just all be a little honest and say, I don't want to get my carcass out of bed at that hour? But because God is bigger and he's awesome and worthy, we get up. Okay, is there another clip? I forgot.
About being able to bring up a question about evolution or sexuality without just having a Bible thrown at you.
Okay, stop. This is what Worldview Series is about tonight. Bringing up evolution or did he say, I can't, it's hard to hear up here. Sexuality or, okay, and throwing a Bible verse at me. Well, what do you want to do, lie to you? You say, well, man, you're being mean. No, listen, I understand, but listen, here's what I would do. I would sit down with the guy and say, let's talk about evolution. Now, you bring forth your worldview of evolution. That's a worldview, you know. Bring it forth. Bring all the argument. Bring all the science. Bring it all. Bring it all. Bring it all out. Bring out the science. Bring it out. And then we'll bring out the science, the argument for creation, engineer, God, and let's look at it. But my worldview is going to introduce to him the argument that there's a designer. You with me?
Yes.
That there's a creator. His argument is going to be, no, it's all a big accident. But see, the whole dynamic demands him bringing his view in, so he'll bring in his Darwinianism, right? So what am I supposed, am I not supposed to bring in God's intelligent design? And so many young people today have suffered because churches don't ask or answer those questions. Far too many people are saying, I'm leaving. You lost me because you wouldn't answer my questions. But let's be honest. Maybe the questions have been answered and the answer wasn't acceptable. What if you don't like the answer? Then you leave. If you don't like the answer, you get up and go. We treat the church like it's a movie that we're sampling it for the first 10 minutes to see if we're going to stay. Forgetting that the church is a living, breathing entity, that we are to participate in it because we are it. Is there more or is that it? That's it, yeah? Think of this for a second now. You lost me. Well, it's possible they were driven away by a bad church environment, but that doesn't justify them not reading their own Bibles. Listen, don't say anything. How much time are we spending reading our own Bibles? How much time are we taking to be alone with God? How much of an opportunity did we let God be real in our lives? Did we obey him when we read his command to us? You see what I'm saying? You just can't wake up one day and say, yeah, you know what? The church is not relevant. Okay, you may be going to a church that's not relevant. Go to a church that is. Jesus loves it, died on the cross for it, rose again from the grave for it. This is important. Jesus said in Matthew 13, 24, strive, work hard to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able to find it or to enter in. Matthew 7, 13, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, that's eternal life, and few there be that find it. Listen, we're out of time, so we'll pick up next week where we left off. But let me get you to this point. There is no possible way for you and I to determine what a church is like, local or universal, without reading his word. Okay, you guys? Watch how everything either stands firm for you or crumbles for you. The young generation today is being told that this is not the inerrant word of God. The moment you introduce that lie to the professing believer, this cannot be depended upon. You have pulled the carpet out from underneath them now, and anything goes. People now, in religious garb, in religious authoritative settings, become the authority because they've achieved in the minds of their listeners that this is second rate. Do you hear me? And now I will tell you what's right in this book and what's wrong with this book. Or this evangelist, or this home group leader, or this pope, or this evangelist, or this whatever will tell you what's right, or this college or seminary professor will say, this is the way it is, not this. And the moment you do that, your footing, your foundation's gone. And the Bible, of itself, says of itself, it is the inerrant word of God. That's quite a statement. So you put it to the test throughout millennia, and what do you find? God's word true. So what in the world is going on? The church is under attack from within, personally, because I believe the scripture example, for example, says, keep yourselves in the love of God. As I quoted a moment ago, strive to enter into the narrow gate, through the narrow gate. People are not doing this. I just recently heard that the average household, or the average person in a household, spends 4 hours an evening watching television. Do you realize you could read books of the Bible in 4 hours and your faith would explode? Supernaturally, guaranteed. Romans 10:17 says so. And so for those who are saying tonight, yeah, you know what? I've had it with church, because all of your arguments are emotional. They're all emotionally based. It's not because God failed you. It's not because you found, you know, chapters of the Bible that were faulty. Your argument's emotional. You were hurt, or you were disappointed, or they didn't use you in the worship group, or you know, you thought that you should be the pastor and they didn't let you do the pulpit that Sunday, and now you're, you know. It's always stuff like this. Here's the scary part. You don't even know. Nobody even knows if you're a Christian or not. Because in the last days, the Bible tells us many will depart from the faith, and we hope it's not you. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to a hypothetical you. I stopped going to church, and you know, the Bible, you can't trust it, so I don't read it anymore. Do you understand? You are a spiritual person that has departed from the church, and you want to be spiritual, so you talk to yourself like that. But every moment you're offending the very heart who loves you, God Almighty. And it's the church's fault. You lost me. Jesus loses. No one. That's his. No one, none of his will be lost. Next time, next week, we'll get in to what does the church look like? What does the church do? What is the church to be? And who's to be the church anyway? Father, tonight, this topic, this issue is a lightning rod of emotion. It's all over the web. It's the discussion of young people today. And I just want to repeat before you, Lord, heaven and earth, and in this congregation, in many ways, a local church has brought on its own demise because it didn't look to you, it didn't obey you, didn't follow you, didn't honor you. That's not what we're talking about. Those churches should have shut down. Those churches should have closed their doors. But your people. And Father, if in the hearing of my voice there are those tonight that are wounded and the root of bitterness has grown up in their heart and they're angry and ugly about the church, they criticize, mock, and ridicule. Without ever concluding or thinking that with every remark they are insulting your bride. Father, I pray for those that are wayward, that are yours, that they would grow up right now and repent and come back to you. Wherever they may be in the world right now, that they would repent of their bitterness and wickedness and stubbornness and rebellion, and that they, Lord, would either ask for forgiveness of those that come to their mind or of you, or that they would themselves make reconciliation. But Heavenly Father, we're asking you, as a small group of believers here in this room right now, to send revival to the church. That is the cure-all. To send revival, dear Lord God, in these last days, as it were, in this dark time, that the church, God, would become so pure, so beautiful, so alive, so holy, so obedient, so free, that your wayward ones would come back, that those who never were would go away, and that the world would see that is the church of the living God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Our Biblical Worldview and the Church, Part 1. Thanks for listening to the message today. We hope that you'll keep yourself in the love of God through the continuing revival of your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Today's lesson was just one in a series called The Worldview Series. It's a series that looks at worldview issues with a biblical lens. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Here's something that we'd love you to do. Go to YouTube and search for Real Life with Jack Hibbs, the Real Life with Jack Hibbs YouTube channel. Search for that and then subscribe if you would. And every time Pastor Jack comes out with something new on YouTube, you'll get a notification and you can head on over and see what's going on. Pastor Jack's got some great stuff on YouTube. If you like listening to him on the radio, you're going to like his videos too. I promise you that. Don't forget to check out the Real Life with Jack Hibbs YouTube channel and hit that subscribe button. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.